God bless all of you.
Radio.
God bless all of you who are on the block tonight. This is Bernard Johnson, and I just want you to know that we appreciate your presence here. I know that there are many great people on this line and from all church affiliations and church denominations, all backgrounds and economic strata, and from every walk of life. We want to welcome you. I do come to you humbly, knowing that I'm approaching many leaders with humility and like a lamb going before shepherds and shepherdesses. God bless you. We do thank you for being here, and thank you for allowing me to somehow, maybe in some way, encourage your heart. All leaders need encouragement. And I found out that God can use a child to encourage us. Amen. And so thank you for allowing me to come. We love you and bless the Lord tonight. Our platform is just simple. We realize many of the things that God has done for us, and we didn't really come to ask him for nothing. Sometimes we do, and we take prayer requests, but when we start thanking the Lord, we just try to thank him, and we try to give him at least 1,000 thank you. Now, I know in the modern-day church nowadays, most people in our churches, you know, they're thinking maybe 10 or 15 seconds, maybe 20 seconds, but we try to go about long enough to give them 1,000 thank you. I did that when I first, God really first gave me this one. I was coming back from Florida to Texas when we lived in Texas. And it took me about 15 minutes, maybe 20 at the most, to thank him 1,000 times when I realized what God was trying to do. I didn't realize at first. So I just simply said, Lord, you've been so good. If I could, I'd thank you 1,000 times. And then the Holy Spirit, I was trying to go to sleep. He said, why don't you? He woke me up and said, why don't you? I didn't even know what he was talking about. Why don't I what? I said, well, why don't you thank God 1,000 times? And from that day till now, I thanked him 1,000 times. He gave me an ultra awesome miracle from that. And I've been trying to lead people all over the world into thanking God 1,000 times. Isn't it amazing how God can take somebody who feels like they're nothing and use them to touch the world? I mean, to touch the whole world, all over the world. This is going everywhere, thanking God 1,000 times. I didn't know really how much God was moving until the other day. I tried to get on the blog line, and the announcer came on, the line is full. I said, wait a minute, I can't get on. God did it. I give him the glory, all the adoration, and I'd be foolish not to know what the Lord is doing. The Lord did that. I tried it again the next night. It told me the line is full. I'm laughing, but it's serious. Thank God is expanding the blog line. I've said this many times, you know, saints of God, you got to realize if the enemy tries to mess with you, expect God to multiply. I mean, that's what I'm doing. Mess with me and I'll multiply. Preach that message and I believe it. Amen. Because the enemy doesn't want you to prosper. You a leader. The enemy doesn't want you to prosper. I know the saints around you think that they are targets. They're not the target. They're the byproduct of what the enemy gets on the way. But the real target is you. If you are a leader, the real target is you. I prove it to you. You go to Revelation, the 12th chapter, the 7th and 8th verse, and I don't have that before me now. I'm traveling. But let me see if I can put it in perspective for you. In the 7th chapter of Revelation, the 12th chapter, rather, and the 7th verse. Yeah. And there was a war in heaven, and the enemy, it calls his name, the devil in that text, the dragon, the serpent, the devil, it says, and his angels fought against God's angels. Now, you know, why was there a war in heaven? Because the enemy, Satan himself, wanted to take over heaven, and he wanted God's place. He was jealous fiend, and he wanted to take over heaven, wanted to take over God's place. And because of that, he started a war. His goal was to take over all of heaven. But he infiltrated one-third of the heavenly hosts. Now, let me put it in perspective here and let you see how many that is. I don't know how many heavenly hosts God created for his praise in heaven. But let's say, for example, God had 10,000 angels in heaven. That means, through that scripture right there, that one-third of them failed means that 3,333 angels who were created, heavenly bodies, angels created by God himself, the enemy infiltrated that much in heaven. Well, read it for yourself. It's there. Revelation 12 and verses 7 through 15. The enemy infiltrated, and one-third of them, 3,333, if there were 10,000. I don't know. If there was 100,000, that means 33,000, almost 34,000 were infiltrated and began to worship Satan. There's a lot in that text that I don't have time to develop here tonight. But you see a lot of things and a lot of questions that people have asked you, precious leaders, that people have asked you at your church. It's being revealed right there in that text. Do people know others when they get to heaven, or are our minds wiped clean and we don't know nothing? No, 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 no. Do you have freedom of choice? Yes, 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 you have freedom of choice. Can you mess up in heaven? Yes. 33,333, if there was 100,000, 33,000 messed up. If there was 10,000, then, you know, one-third of that, 3,333, yeah. They messed up. They had freedom of choice in heaven. Their minds, yeah, they have their own will in heaven. And it just answers a lot of questions in that text. Then some people ask you at your church, what about will we be able to be in heaven? Well, the only way you can be there is because you change from the mortal to immortality. You don't have the same body. No, 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 you don't have the same body. And the only way you can stand before the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, before Jehovah God, Elohim, the only way you can stand is that you must be changed. Why? Because there is no need for any sun in heaven. Remember when Jesus was dying, I believe that the reason why the sun couldn't shine is because the S-O-N was shining. His glory filled the air, and the sun had to pull the shade down and go on down. That moon went down in blood. The sun refused to shine because of the glory of God. So in heaven, the glory of God is so magnificent. The only way you can be there is that you have to be changed. So getting back to this thing here, I want to show you something, leaders, that in heaven, Satan tried to take over heaven and had one-third of the heavenly hosts convinced to follow him. Now, how did he do it? You know, I teach this, you know, to recognize God's voice and to recognize what's being done. Ask questions. How did Satan infiltrate one-third of the heavenly hosts according to the word of God? And if you read, and if you believe one portion of the Bible, you're going to believe all of it. If you read that and you see that one-third of them failed, how did he do it? May I suggest to you something? I believe he used mind control. I don't like to say the other word because people get afraid of the other word that you might use. So I just say he used mind control. What word are you talking about, Dr. Johnson? I'll use it right now, and I'm going to get away from witchcraft. I believe he used mind control in heaven. And how do you use mind control? With loving kindness over there, I believe in, what is it, Jeremiah 3:31, something like that. With loving kindness have I drawn you. I believe he did loving kindness to get them under his belt or whatever you want to call it. But here's the main thing I'm going to get at, and then we're going to start thanking the Lord in just a minute and get a prayer request. What I'm trying to tell you is that the only way he could have convinced one-third of the heavenly host to follow him is that he had to go to the people who were close around God. He had to get to those angels, some of them defected. How could he convince one-third of them to follow him except he had gotten to some people who were around? Who is God? The leader. You're the leader in your church. You're the leader. He had to get the people around you and do say nice things to them and whatever, be kind, because he was trying to get them under his, whatever you want to say, his influence. So he had to infiltrate with those special people around him. And you find this in the church. He was kicked out of heaven, and one-third of the heaven host fought against Michael, and they were kicked out of heaven too. So the same MO that he had up in heaven, he has down here. He hadn't changed one iota of a bit. The same thing he was trying to do up there, he figures that if he could overcome one-third of the angels up in heaven and get them to defect against God, and they'd be kicked out of heaven, if his stuff was that strong in heaven, why do you think he's going to try change it down here? He's keeping the same MO. So he's trying to, leaders, listen to me everywhere, and I'm saying this as a lamb coming to you. Please listen to me. He used a strategy against God. He had to get people who were close around God to somehow forsake the Lord, to get one-third of the heavenly host. That's the way he had to do it. And I'm trying to tell you that he had to get one-third, he had to get leaders around, I mean people around the leader. That's what I'm trying to say. You are the leader. Look around you and see if what I'm saying to you is coming true right now. Look around you and think about those, what is happening. The enemy is using the people close around you. Uh-huh. Now, what did they do in heaven? The enemy used those close around the leader, God himself. And how did he do it? He was trying to, what was he trying to do? He was trying to hurt God, trying to hurt him. He knew that those bodies that God had created, if they turned against him, that would hurt God. And don't say God can't be hurt. He hurt when the Son was down on the cross. He hurt so badly inside. So he can be hurt. And they hurt him. Because the people he is, he said, the people I made, the people that I elevated, the people that I put as angels and made them, and now they're going to stop worshiping me and start doing like the Israelites in the wilderness, worshiping an idol god, creating spiritual adultery. It hurt God. And that's the enemy was trying to use everything he could to hurt God, because he knew if he distracted him, if he cut God, if he wounded God, and I don't mean that in a literal sense, but I mean bruise his heart. You can bruise the Holy Ghost, so you can bruise God's heart. He bruised God's heart, and he was trying to distract him and bruise his heart so he could find some weakness, you might say, to destroy God and take over heaven. But it couldn't be so. No, it couldn't be so. God, notice the leaders, listen to me on this, watch this. If you read that 7th and 8th verse of the 12th chapter, God never fought the enemy himself. No. He found people who were loyal to him, and he sent them to fight the enemy. He dispatched the warring angel, Michael, and other angels. They're the ones who fought Satan and defeated the enemy. Check it out. The 12th chapter of Revelations, the 7th and 8th, 9th, 10th, 11th, 12th, all the way to the 15th verse. You'll see it. He found people who were loyal and who were dedicated to God and sent them to fight the enemy and all of his angels. Now, that deserves a praise. Opening your eyes to something that's happening right around you right now. And God is having me to do this on the blog line to millions, because the enemy doesn't like, y'all need to pray for me. Amen. I'm not afraid of anything. I know the blood of Jesus is all over me and everything else. Yes. But prayer changes things. So, revealing the secrets of the enemy is not a plaything. I just want you to know that. Not a plaything. And anger, the enemy has great anger about revealing his secrets and things like that. So I need you to pray for me. I'm all right, going to be tremendous, going up from him, because I decided, since the enemy has been attacking me ever since I've been doing this for the last 3 or 4 weeks, maybe a month, unusual things the enemy has been trying to attack me. So pray for me. Amen. But mess with me and I'll multiply. I decided, since he's going to attack me, I might as well go ahead with what God's doing and even more. So I want you to know these secrets, and I've got some few other things that I'm sure God will reveal as we talk about this thing. God bless you. Let's thank God for what he's done in just a moment. Anybody, can y'all hear me? Anybody? Are your lines open, anyone? All right. I know y'all can hear me, but until we open the lines to you, we won't be able to hear you immediately until we open those lines. God bless you. But hopefully this will bless your heart, and it will open your eyes, and the cataracts will fall off your eyes of what the enemy is trying to do in this last evil day. Nothing. I never had the enemy attack me so much leading to our convention. Amen. It's just the enemy that has been attacking and constantly attacking. And let me tell you something. Most times, leaders take the low road. Just put it in the hands of the Lord and take the low road. Amen. And God will bless you. All right. Can anybody hear me now? If so, say, we hear you. All right. All right. I know you hear me. All right. Let me just say a word of prayer for all of you. Heavenly Father, this is my week of just thanking you. I just want to thank you for miracles that are going out over this blog line tonight. I feel the enemy trying to be very, very angry and jealous of giving his secrets about his historicity in Revelation, the 12th chapter, verses 7 through 15. But God, thank you because of the covering of the blood of Jesus Christ. I know the blood still works because it works in me and it works in these leaders who are listening. The blood of Jesus cover you in your office. The blood of Jesus cover you in your church. The blood of Jesus cover you all in your business. The blood of Jesus cover you in your neighborhood. The blood of Jesus covers you in your home. The blood, the blood, the blood, the blood, the resurrection blood of Jesus covers me. And I want to thank you for it in the name of Jesus. God, bless these leaders. Let me just say thank you for blessing these people in the name of Jesus. And thank you for opening doors for them. Some have heart's desires right now. And I thank you for giving me a word to tell them. As I asked you the other day, Lord, I have heart's desires. And I told the people that you were going to do this and you were going to do that. And some of the things have not happened. But you told me to tell the leaders that if you told them something, and they told the people at their church that it was going to happen, and it hasn't happened yet, you told me to tell them these words. You said, tell them if it hasn't happened yet, their visions that they shared with their people, if they haven't happened yet, you said to tell them it's on the way. Ah, glory, glory. It's on the way, my brothers, my sisters. You leaders out there, God said, don't fret. It's on the way. And be not weary in well-doing, for in due season it's on the way. You're going to reap. It's on the way. If you faint not, because it's on the way. It's on the way. It's on the way. God bless you. I want to just start thanking God because he's sending you the answer to all of your problems, the answer to all of your questions. May I say, there's a lamb coming to you. There's a lamb coming to you. It's on the way. Don't throw in the towel. Don't get weary. It's on the way. In the name of Jesus. Help me start thanking the Lord now in the name of Jesus. All over. Maybe I can't hear you, but they don't have the lines. I just think I want them to open the lines if they can hear me. Not in my office here tonight. But thank God. Let's just start thanking him. I'll thank him until I hear y'all thanking him, and we'll thank him together. And if you don't ever come in, I'm still going to thank you. Amen. Heavenly Father, we just thank you. Thank you, thank you. Thank you for letting me find out, Lord, that these pedometers can count steps that people take. And to take one step takes a miracle, God. Ask people who've had strokes. I'm not talking to you, Lord, but I'm just saying to the people on the line. Ask someone. Find out from people who have strokes. How much energy it takes to take one step, to move one finger. And yet, we find out that some people take 10,000 steps a day, and some over the weekend, over 65,000 steps. God, you are a miracle worker. And I'm smiling right now because, God, nobody is like you. Can nobody do what you can do? Can nobody bless like you can bless? Can nobody make a way like you can make a way? Oh, God, we praise you. We appreciate you. We give you adoration. We give you all the praise. Oh, thank you for what you've done. Thank you for what you're doing right now. Thank you for the blood, the blood, the blood, the resurrection blood of Jesus And God is so wondrous, so amazing, so astounding. And God, we love you. We praise you forevermore for what you've done, even for what you're doing right now. Oh, God, so marvelous. Can't nobody be like you except we would try to live like you. Can't nobody do what you can do. We bless you, Lord, and we give you adoration. Thank you. Oh, bless your holy name. God is just so wonderful, so marvelous. Thank you for this day. Appreciate you. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, God, thank you. And you're so ultra awesome. We praise you. And we just believe in you. Thank you for all that. Thank you for great health. Thank you for great strength. Thank you for bringing this out. Thank you, God. Oh, God, we just appreciate all that you have done. We appreciate all that you're doing. We appreciate how you're bringing us out and making a way for us. Thank you for waking us up this morning. Yeah, that's not something we take for granted. So many people went in last night. But you woke us up this morning. And you started us on our way. Thank you, Lord. We appreciate it. Oh, God, thank you. Thank you. Oh, God, appreciate everything that you're doing right now. Oh, God, thank you for life. Thank you for great health. And thank you for great strength. Thank you for the miracles that you're giving to several people, God. And one of them being Bishop Hagin. Thank you for how you blessed him, Lord. And for how you brought him to this court. Thank you. Oh, God, thank you. Nobody, God, will give you the glory. Yes, thank you. Thank you for amazing grace. Beautiful. Thank you, oh, God, for the miracles that you're doing on the prayer line. Thank you for that. Thank you for the miracles you're doing on the youth prayer line. Thank you for that. Thank you for the miracles you're doing in all of our lives. God, I'm asking you, I'm thanking you for touching the people and helping them to recognize miracles that are being done in their lives. Some people just take you for granted. But God, you do so many miracles for us, God. And we appreciate what you're doing. We thank you, Lord, for the blessings that you sent from heaven. Thank you, Lord. Financial blessings that you're giving. Thank you for shaking the chunk tree. Oh, God. And sending blessings from down from above. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, God. Thank you for eyes to see. And sometimes we don't even think about the eyes that you've given us to see. And thank you for that. Sometimes we don't even think about how relevant it is to have ears to hear. Thank you, Lord. And the legs to walk, even a mouth to talk. God, we appreciate it. So many people don't have legs. Less at home and saw people who didn't have legs and went to the nursing home and saw people who didn't have the ability to see. Some were just laying up and couldn't move, God. But it made me realize even more how good you have been to more people. Thank you, Lord. And you've been to me. I was just grateful. Thank you, Lord. Every time I look around, you keep on doing great things for me. I want to thank you. Thank you for these precious people who are on this block, God. God, how you made a way out of no way. How you thought about God. Thank you, Lord. And I want to thank you for taking them, many of them who have been through bereavement. When they find out a brother's gone and sister's gone, and find out, like me, about a month and a half ago, 2 months ago, when mama was gone, I had to find out for myself, you'll be a mother when mother is gone. When I lost my best friend, my mother, God, you let me know that you will be a best friend for us in the name of Jesus. And I found out that through the midnight hour, you'll be there to comfort us. And I want to thank you for bringing me that far. And that you have done the same thing for people on this blog line. Some have lost close loved ones, and you took them through it, God. They realize now that you were there every moment. No wonder you said in Hebrews 13:5, you will never leave us nor forsake us. No wonder you said in Matthew 28:20, and lo, I'm with you always, even unto the end of the world. You've been there for every situation. God, I want to thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. Thank you, Lord. You've been there through the storm and the rain. And somebody has been through the storm and been going through a little too long. Oh, you see them. And I thank you because you're bringing them out, God. Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. And somebody had been wounded and had been bruised. Thank you, Lord. But you told me to tell them that you see the wounds and you see the bruises and you're bringing them out all right. Oh, thank you, Lord. Yes, you are bringing them out all right. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord, for being our love. And I want to thank you, Lord, for being our joy. And I want to thank you, Lord, for being our hope. And thank you, Lord, for being our peace. And thank you, Lord, for being our shepherd and our leader and our guide and our faith and our hope and our charity and our inspiration and our jubilation and our master and our maker and our molder and our shaper. Thank you for being our teacher and being our guide and being wisdom and being our knowledge. Oh, thank you, Jesus. May I just thank you, Lord. Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. Oh, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. Oh, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. Thank you for this night, God. We just praise your holy name. Oh, praise you for your anointing on this right now that I feel your presence. You reminded me that whenever you in the room, yes, Lord, whenever you in the room, everything is subject to you. You obey nothing, but everything obeys you. Whenever you're in the room of cancer, cancer must obey you. Whenever you're in the room of diabetes, diabetes must obey you. Whenever you're in the room of kidney problems, the kidneys must obey you. Whenever you're in the room of the liver problems, the liver must obey you. Whenever you're in the room of every organ problem, the organs must obey you. Whenever you're in the room, yes, in the room, in the room, oh, in the room. Whenever you're in the room, everything must obey you. And I got some good news for people on this block line. Oh, thank you, Jesus. You just let me know to tell them that you're in that womb right now. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Oh, thank you, Jesus. You're in the room right now. Thank you, Jesus. You're in the room. 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 You're in the room right now, God. Why you there, Lord? May I just thank you for touching the people that you're in the room of. Somebody needs a miracle. Thank you, Jesus. Excuse me, Lord. Somebody needs you to do a miracle. And I believe in miracles. I believe that you can do things that man cannot do. Oh, you created the body, and you know all about it. But you show me that miracles are not just physical. Somebody needs you to do a financial miracle. Somebody needs you to do all kinds of miracles in the mind. Somebody needs you to fix the situation in the relationship. Somebody needs you to fix a miracle in the marriage, Lord. You can turn anything around. Oh, thank you for turning it around. Thank you for the miracle, God. Oh, thank you. Thank you, 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 thank you. Oh, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. Oh, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. I'm just thanking you in the way that I can thank you, Lord. Not trying to be nobody else, but I'm just trying to give you praise the way I know to give it to you. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. Thank you, thank you, thank you for letting me be myself tonight. Thank you for letting me be myself tonight. Thank you for letting me be myself tonight. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. You reminded me of when I was on that plane and the first time you gave me this, Lord. When I said, Lord, if I could thank you 1,000 times, I would thank you, Lord. And the Holy Ghost said, why don't you? And I just began to try it. Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. Before I knew it, your joy had risen up in my soul. Before I knew it, I remembered that Mama was right. And she told me, son, the more you thank him, the more he'll bless you. I wonder if there's anybody on this line where you are, even though I may not be able to hear you, will you realize that and try that? The more you thank him, the more he'll bless you. Somebody needs God to fix your finances. The more you thank him, the more he'll bless you. Somebody needs God to heal your body. The more you thank him, the more he'll bless you. Somebody needs God to make a way out of no way. The more you thank him, the more he'll bless you. Somebody needs God to fix it with your son, fix it with your daughter, to save your son, to save your daughter. The more you thank him, the more he'll bless you.